Growing up, I had the distinct privilege of living in Anaheim, California, and going to church in Santa Ana, which was about 8 miles south of where we lived. And so every Sunday morning, we would pile into the car, and we'd jump on the southbound I-5 and make our way through the Orange Crush as we went to church. And one of the things that we would there were two things that we would pass by that were significant. Three things. And the first one was Disneyland. Went by Disneyland every day, and there was the Matterhorn sticking up, and I knew that was Disneyland. Another thing we passed by that was significant to me for some reason was the Orange Drive-In. It was this big old drive-in theater that was right next to the freeway. And the third thing was a Crystal Cathedral. And when we first started driving by, that was back when all they had was the big tower that looked like a big business building. And I used to wonder what it would be like to go to church there. And then in 1981, they completed the big glass cathedral. And it was big, and it was glitzy. And I remember, again, sitting and watching and thinking, you know, our sanctuary is small and kind of homey. I wonder what it would be like to go to church in the Crystal Cathedral. And most people were impressed with the cathedral. Yes, there were those who said, you know, gosh, that's an awful lot of money to put into a building. Is that the right use of the Lord's money? And there were others who were very impressed with the cathedral, with the television ministry, with the lavish Christmas and Easter productions. And a lot of ministers had modeled their ministries after the way Schuller did his. But sadly, on October 18th of 2010, the Crystal Cathedral filed for bankruptcy. Declining donations and $48 million in debt have left the once iconic megachurch struggling to keep staff on board and to keep its doors open. And I can't help but think about that when I hear today's gospel passage. And maybe Jesus in this morning's passage he's just finished teaching about the widow's mite. The disciples saw a rich person come in and put a large sum of money in, and a widow come and put 2 copper coins. And of course, the lesson was she gave the greater gift because it was all that she had. And from there, they go outside into the temple, and they're looking around at Herod's temple, the great temple. And Herod's temple captured people's breath. And historians say that it was one of the great wonders of the world in the Mediterranean. And people would come from all over the world to come and see the great temple of Jerusalem. And the stones were massive. They were hewn from quarries nearby, carefully moved into place and polished. And as the disciples looked around at this lavish, polished, decorated, beautiful temple, their breath was taken away. And Jesus notices them looking around and he says, you know, the days are going to come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. And his disciples turn and look at Jesus and kind of say, well, when? They couldn't imagine such large stones being pulled apart. And Jesus responds with a few vague words that don't exactly say when. In fact, if we look at them closer, they seem to be more concerned with wrong timing and wrong teaching. He warns against false messiahs, saying, you know, people are going to come in my name and don't follow them, especially if they seem to know when this is going to happen. And he speaks of wars and earthquakes and famines as a sign that the time is near. But I want us to pause and think for just a moment. Jesus is talking about some dramatic changes that are going to take place in the world. And if we keep following along, in many ways, what Jesus says is, this is what's going to happen. There are some great changes coming, but deal with it. And I promise that not a hair on your head will perish, and that by your endurance you will gain your salvation. You know, nothing is going to be the same as we move forward through our lives. Nothing is going to be the same forever. So Jesus speaks into the face of these kind of frightening prospects, that earthquakes and wars, and then he says, you're going to be handed over and persecuted. But he says that this will give you an opportunity to testify. So in other words, it doesn't matter that the world's coming to an end. What really matters is that we testify. And as a preacher in this passage, I'm most interested in where the discussion starts and where the discussion ends. At the beginning of the passage, we have some people admiring the stones and the gifts to God that adorned the temple. And then at the end, Jesus brings around the conversation to the real topic: his death and the role that the admirers, those that are looking at the temple, the role that they are going to play in the aftermath of his death. They will be arrested and brought before the synagogue and governors, and they will have an opportunity to testify and that they should prepare nothing, that their testimony will be about the Christ. And when we talk about endurance, that endurance isn't just a stoic or heroic persistence. It's something else. It's a gift of the presence of the Holy Spirit that helps us to have the right words and to be able to stand firm in our faith. And when you talk to Christians who've been admired for their persistence, they will regularly discount the fact that they are a strong person or that they are extraordinary. And rather, you will hear them say things like, you know, it was really only by God's grace that I held up. Few people know how close I was to breaking. And I don't know if you've ever had that conversation with someone, but it's humbling to hear. But getting back to the scripture, it's curious because when we read the scripture, it sounds like Jesus is predicting that the world is going to come to an end and that it's going to come soon. But we know that the end didn't come in 70 AD when Titus brought in the Roman army and destroyed the temple. And we know the world didn't come to an end in 476 AD when the Roman Empire fell. And we know that for as long as we can look through history, there have been wars and rumors of wars. And there have been earthquakes. But still the world endures. So the end hasn't come, right? Well, in many ways, the Christian belief is that it has. The Christian belief is that we have already seen the end, that the world came to a decisive crisis in the life and death of Jesus of Nazareth. And that in his death and resulting resurrection, the entire history of the universe has reached a turning point. It's reached a turning point. And nothing is going to be the same. Everything is changing. And God is at work. And God's kingdom is coming. and God's kingdom is present, and we are all a part of it. And yet in the midst of this, we get distracted by many things. I'll speak for myself, but I happen to like flash and style and luxury and size, you know. Want the newest, the latest, the greatest, the biggest. Well, and now you want the smallest. You want the tiniest things. We spend so much time on stuff that fades. Stuff that fades away. Buildings, cars, clothes, technology, entertainment. And in the end, what is truly eternal? And I know we've all heard the cautions against consumerism before. But this is something more. What is truly eternal in our world? What is truly eternal in our lives? And I share this. This is one of the things that when you go to seminary and when you talk to pastors and you talk about giving, you know, pastors always scratch their heads and say, you know, I've never figured out why it's easier to get people to give to a building than it is to give to the day-in, day-out budget. To the day-in, day-out mission of the church. To the day-in, day-out testimony and witnessing of God's people. And maybe that's evidence of a misunderstanding. A misunderstanding about which will last longer. See, in the end, the one eternal thing that can be found in life is the actual life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything else changes in the shadow of the cross and in the light of the empty tomb. Everything else falls down. It all falls down. May we spend more time and attention with the one thing that is eternal, the risen Christ our Lord. Amen.